You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
How are things going?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. Things are going well here. Just thinking about Shania Twain and the one time that she touched my shoulder, which I still haven't washed since.
Do go on.
I was working at the Calgary Saddle Dome as an usher, and I was working on the floor for a Shania Twain concert. And she did this fun thing where she came down off the stage and walked around, you know, the entire bottom of the Calgary Saddle Dome. And she walked past 18, 19-year-old Zach working as an usher and brushed her hand across the upper back of my shoulders from right to left. It was a tremendous moment for me.
Electric.
That was a really good rundown. You remember it very well.
Well, I mean, Shania Twain touched my shoulder. That's not a moment that you can ever forget.
Okay, question of the day that we didn't mean to get into, but it happened. What is your favorite TV show theme song?
Whoa, that's heavy. I mean, I'm a huge Simpsons fan, so I love that intro song. But for me, I really love the Sopranos one, too.
Yeah.
It's just such a classic for me.
Such a good intro, just him driving around Jersey as well. Like, that's a very good pick and a popular one at that. So some good selection, Zach. Now, let's talk some hockey today in the NHL. Like, it is still sort of the dog days, but we did see Frank Nazar getting the contract from the Chicago Blackhawks after just, what, 56 games played. What did you think about that deal for Chicago and, I guess, betting on his future?
Yeah, they're certainly taking a bet. I mean, this is a guy who's got, what, 27 points and 56 games to his NHL career. You know, it's kind of interesting when I look back at these younger guys getting these bigger term deals. And I always kind of think back to when Leon Draisaitl signed his big extension with the Edmonton Oilers. And we were all like, wow, like $8.5 million over 8 years. And that was certainly one that worked out in favor of the Edmonton Oilers. It kind of goes without saying because of how good he's been. But, you know, I think there's certainly some questions about this deal. I mean, I think the projection is there for him to be a really solid NHLer, and they're certainly taking a bet here, right? I mean, this guy is still only 21 years old, you know, high draft capital is a 13th overall pick. I'll be curious to see where this one kind of ends up. But, you know, interesting to see them get a young piece of their team locked up for a number of years here.
Yeah, and I like the idea. Like you said, Leon Draisaitl was such a good example because, you know, for many years, he and Nathan MacKinnon were such value contracts for their teams. And I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be their level, but still could be good value there. Some other news today, just talking about the Canadian Olympic team here and the camp going down. There's going to be Jordan Binnington and Aiden Hill along with Sam Montembeau in terms of goaltenders. But Doug Armstrong says it could be an open spot. Like, it's not necessarily going to be these three guys. When you look around the league, there's Logan Thompson, potentially Darcy Kemper out there as well. Anyone that you think could be maybe a little bit of a long shot to surprise and potentially represent Canada at the Olympics?
I think Logan Thompson is probably the first guy that comes to mind here. I'm a little surprised that he wasn't even invited to this development camp. I'm surprised they didn't take a couple of more goaltenders. You know, if they're saying that it's an open battle, you would think they would want to bring in a couple of more than just, you know, three or four guys as they did here. So I think Thompson is a guy who could definitely compete. You know, let's see what kind of a start to the year Stuart Skinner has. I mean, I think he's a guy who could, you know, make some noise. Not necessarily is a guy that they would lean on in a significant starting role or anything like that. But I could see him being a guy who could be an extra body there in the net and somebody who could really benefit from some experience on the international stage like this, being around a team like Team Canada.
We're joined by Zach Lane from Oilers Nation and Daily Faceoff here on the Jason Greger Show. Connor Halliwanya-Gretz sitting in for Jason. Some news yesterday, and really good news for Connor Ingram, getting cleared from the NHLPA's Player Assistance Program so he can return to the NHL, which is awesome. Glad to see for him. What do you think the future holds for him? Do you think it's in Utah or could it be elsewhere?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think I kind of wonder if it's going to be elsewhere for him. You know, he's still 27 years old. He has had some good times in the NHL over the last number of years, but certainly some struggles last year, you know, with the Utah Mammoth. I think the thing for me is you look at them, and they've still got a couple of other young netminders too. Jackson Stauber had some NHL time last year. Matt Vallotta as well drew in for a single game last season. So, you know, I could see Ingram being a guy that, you know, teams look at as somebody who can maybe step into a larger role for their team. I just think it's hard to see him breaking in as a starter for Utah with Karel Vemelka there and the big contract that they gave him last year.
Zach Lang, Oilers Nation, joining us. Zach, a couple days late on this one, but Milan Lucic, PTO out in St. Louis, and everyone we talked to, well, let's say for the most part, because I think Terry Ryan said, hey, maybe there's a chance, but a lot of people we spoke to on this show, not believers in a 37-year-old Milan Lucic. So what do you think the chances are that he's playing in the NHL next season with St. Louis or elsewhere?
I mean, I want to say slim to none, but the fact that he even got a PTO in the first place was a little bit surprising for me. You know, he only played a couple of games for the Boston Bruins, but he looked really out of place there. I know he was dealing with, you know, some injury at the time as well and went on the shelf with a foot injury too. But, you know, those last couple of years in Calgary really weren't that great for Milan Lucic from a hockey perspective. You know, of course, there's all of the off-the-ice stuff that happened with him that resulted in him stepping away from the game. And I kind of thought that, you know, between all of that stuff as well as the fact that he really wasn't a very effective player anymore, would lead teams to not give him a chance. I mean, last year there was rumors ahead of the season, you know, last year around this time that, you know, he was skating and working out, hoping to get a PTO. I just don't really know what he could contribute to an NHL roster right now at 37 years old. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see the St. Louis Blues sign him to, you know, a one-year league minimum contract and kind of have him around as a veteran guy. But I don't really think you can anticipate getting much, anything effective out of Lucic this year.
Zach, I want to hop over to the Major Leagues of Baseball, and it's going to be a fun one tomorrow when the Jays head down to Miami, taking on the Marlins. Shane Bieber going to make his debut for the Blue Jays since being acquired at the trade deadline. We saw some good stuff from him down in Buffalo, but Major Leagues a little bit different. What are your expectations with how he'll play and how he'll be handled?
Yeah, really fascinated to see what happens here. I mean, it's a good problem to have for the Toronto Blue Jays right now. You know, they've got a wealth of pitching, especially in the starting role right now. You know, Eric Lauer obviously has been a tremendous story this season coming up, you know, starting and being an incredibly effective starter at that for the team. You know, he's going to kind of bump into a long man role out of the bullpen, which I think is a really good thing because the Jays haven't really had that this year, right? So, you know, if there's these games where they're getting down early and they have to get to the bullpen, well, Lauer's a guy who can definitely give you 2, 3, 4, 5 innings of high-quality baseball if you need to. You know, Max Scherzer, he's been looking great as well lately. He's really turned it on. And this Shane Bieber acquisition, I mean, I'm really excited to see what he's able to do. You know, like you mentioned, Triple A, definitely a different league than the major leagues. But, you know, Bieber has been an effective major league pitcher for a number of years here. And his stint in Buffalo with the Bisons is great. You know, he had 3 starts, pitched 17 and two-thirds innings, 2.04 ERA, really did a good job of limiting opposing contact, 16 strikeouts over that time. Like, he looked like he was ready to go pretty early on during his rehab assignment there. So I'm really excited to see what can happen. And again, it's definitely a good problem to have with all these arms in starting roles for the Jays.
And then right now in the season, I mean, it's funny because the Jays went on such a good run there and, you know, still playing good, 6-4 in their last 10. But you look at the standings in the AL, and the New York Yankees playing some good ball. They've won 5 in a row. They are 8-2 in their last 10, so obviously probably going to be a threat. On a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with the Jays in that four-game lead in the AL East?
I think like a 6 out of 10. I mean, you know, baseball's an interesting sport, right? You know, one bad series for the Jays, they get swept. One series for the Yankees, and they sweep. And all of a sudden, you know, it's a one-game lead here for the Blue Jays. So I think they're in a really good spot right now, 4 games up on the Yankees here. But there's still a lot of season left to play here. I mean, there's still some really important baseball. And for the Blue Jays, too, you know, they've kind of slowed down a little bit as of late, it feels like, since that Colorado series. But still, 6-4 in their last 10 games. I think the thing for me that's been really impressive about the Jays is just how good they've been against really good ball teams. 34-29 against teams above 500 on the season. So seeing a lot of good things from these Blue Jays here, you know, I think it's getting to be a point in time where you want to see them start to turn it back on a little bit. You know, obviously had that great stretch for the last couple of months here. And I think it was everybody knew they weren't going to be able to play at an extremely high level like that through the remainder of the season. There's going to be the highs, there's going to be the lows. Yeah, okay, there might be a little bit of dip here for the Blue Jays in the last couple of weeks. But, man, this is a team that just continues to impress. Really, really looking good all around here.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I will say, like, growing up, I never got to watch Jays playoff baseball until I was, like, in my mid-20s. Then I finally realized this is awesome. So hopefully to keep this going, go on a little bit of a run. It's going to be a really good time down the stretch here. Zach, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. We'll have to do it again.